Health isn't someday in the future, it's now. It's same-day GP appointments when you need that niggle seen to. And getting the results for your cancer test fast. Health is a direct line to experts, whatever time of day you need it. And mental health support that doesn't have an expiry date. Feeling your best every day starts today. Search Bupa Health Insurance to get your quote now. Bupa, this is health. Pre-existing conditions not covered. Terms and conditions apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
3 minutes after 12 is the time. I didn't mention Mystery Hour, not in the last sort of 10 minutes, and yet here you are. I never know quite how to feel about that. It never happens on any other hour. Well, it wouldn't, would it? Because you don't know what I'm going to be talking about. But I almost sometimes get the sense that some people are just counting the minutes until Mystery Hour starts and not really paying attention to the long-ago award-winning radio content that that kicks off. We took a call at 11 o'clock this morning from someone who thought Mystery Hour had already started. And I don't know how engaged they would have been in the rest of the sparkling content that we create together. I probably need to give you a quick explainer of what happens next. People ring in with questions. It could, of course, be you. I'll remind you of the number in a moment. And then other people ring in with answers. And that's about as far as it goes, which makes it a mystery in many ways as to how it has spawned everything from a board game to an army of fans. But it has. There is a board game. You can even win one by being my favourite contributor of the day. The full terms and conditions to find out about that official, grown-up, proper competition can be found at lbc.co.uk. If you want to find out about the board game, if you're not lucky enough to win one and you want to buy one, you can go to mysteryhour.co.uk. And the basic premise of the entire project is that we solve mysteries. Some silly, some serious, some scientific, some pretty simplistic. But it is just fun, isn't it? Should we just crack straight on? Have I done everything? I've done all the home. I've done all the housework. I've got nothing else to... the number? Have I said the number? 03456060973. I mean, you should really know it by now. But if you don't give it out, you end up getting called by the same people every day. And no one enjoys that. Vivian's in Cheltenham to start proceedings for today. Vivian, question or answer?
Hello, question, please.
Carry on, Vivian.
Why have pheasants got a death wish?
Why are they so stupid?
Yeah, I don't get it. Well, I don't want to say stupid, because maybe there's something in their system that they can't, maybe they've got poor eyesight, or...
You're meaning on the roads, I think.
Yes, sorry. It's quite a kind of country question, but every time I drive to work, they've got a death wish, and I'm driving very carefully. I've got a colleague whose car was really badly damaged.
Every other animal we can think of that finds itself in the road with oncoming traffic knows to get out of the way, from a pigeon to a cat. I mean, it doesn't always work. But a pheasant apparently has absolutely no idea whatsoever.
They've got no idea. Like, and even if you stop and give them space, they daisy on around the road. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Well, I what I want you to do, for the benefit of my urban listeners, is I want you to describe a pheasant to me. And I think there might be a clue in your answer to what the answer is to your question. So go on, describe a pheasant.
I'm worried I'm going to fall down a trap here.
No, there's no trap. It's flipping Mystery Hour. It's not. There's no gotchas and zingers in Mystery Hour. It's no viral clips here. Go on.
Well, it's
what's the most notable thing about the physiognomy of a pheasant?
It's wings.
No. Massive body. Massive.
You out there.
Massive. I'll say the first bit. You say the second bit. Massive body.
Small head.
Yes. And what's in the head? What's in the head?
But still, eyes, but...
No, not eyes. What's in the head?
Brain.
Brain.
You're going down the bird brain path.
It's a tiny brain. Tiny
brain. Well, why aren't there... What? So is that... What's wrong with pheasants?
I think so. They've got an even smaller brain than the average bird.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Yeah. If there's something... I'm wondering if there's something... If they've got poor eyesight, or there's something, maybe they're not afraid of vehicles, or I don't know.
Well, it's going to be hard to pin down precisely why they don't get out of the way without asking one. But I mean, they're, I mean, someone will probably know the answer to this. I've got some good news for you, though.
What's that?
Chris has been in touch and says that he's been listening for 15 years. This is his favourite question ever.
Oh, thank you. I must admit, the lady that answered the phone laughed out loud at me.
So. Good Lord, that's a first. Okay, it's on the list. Why are pheasants so silly, stupid, or why don't they get out of the way of cars? Even worse than other cars. Except, but do you know what is as bad as a pheasant, Vivian?
What?
A peacock. Peacocks are as daft as brushes, I think. I mean, I don't want to open up a debate on it, but maybe they're similar. I don't know if they've got a similar genus, a similar background. But why are pheasants so stupid? 03456060973. In the context of in the context of roads and cars and the rest of it. Adil is in Horsham. Adil, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
It's my daughter's question, really. It's her iPhone. She's got a Face ID on it, so obviously it unlocks to her face.
Yeah.
But every time her brother nicks her phone, he can unlock her phone with his face.
Gosh.
And she wants to know how this is happening. Obviously, like, it's picking up.
The short answer is that they look similar.
I know, but they're like 15 months apart. No, they're not twins, mate. He's got blue eyes, she's got brown eyes. She's got long hair, he's got short. So I know they do look the same, but they don't look the same, if you know what I mean.
No,
but,
are they really similar? I mean, notably similar? More similar than other siblings that you know?
No, I don't know.
It must be eyes apart. Well, so what we really want to know, what your girl wants to know, is how does it work? Because it's going to be looking at the distance, how far apart their eyes are, or the maps, like plot points on there. That's it. That's really, and it must be really annoying. Does it work the other way around? Can she open his phone?
No, you can't open his phone, can you? No, but his Apple, his iPad. Oh, no, he uses his thumbprint on his, but no, I might try that.
Why did she get her to have a thumbprint on hers then?
She's got a thumbprint on yours as well, haven't you? Oh, no, I'd have to change it then, that might help.
I'll tell you what, Adil, you can tell we're live today, can't you? There's no question of this having been edited for brevity earlier. So that's really unfair on her. All right, we'll try and find out.
I wonder if it happened to anybody else, sort of, obviously.
I know that it happens to somebody else because somebody told me this within the relatively recent past. It might even have been a father and son, actually, that were telling me.
Oh, really?
So what we need to know is why. What we can't do, I mean, we can't stop it from happening. All she can do is, turn off her Face ID, if you can do that, and turn on the thumbprint or whatever it is. But there you go. So why would that happen? Some people suggest he might have nicked her phone and added his own face to it. But I don't think that. No, I don't think that's the case, because I've heard of this happening elsewhere. Thank you, Adil. 10 minutes after 12 is the time. Des is in Hampton. Des, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on, Des.
Yeah, I watched this documentary a little while back about the smallest thing in the world, but unfortunately I fell asleep for the end, and it struck me that I thought, I had a couple of beers, I was after football, so I was a bit smashed, but it was an interesting program.
All right.
But I was wondering, the one thing I'd like to know about the smallest thing in the world, right? Yeah. Well, I was curious about its colour.
What was the smallest thing?
I don't know. I didn't see that in the programme. That's the whole point. So I thought you could help me. The programme was, what's the smallest thing in the world? So I fell asleep.
So you watched a programme called What's the Smallest Thing in the World?
Yeah,
and you fell asleep before the end?
Yeah.
And you want me to fill in the gaps?
Well, I'd like to know about the smallest thing in the world. Like,
well, you're not enough to stay awake, though.
James, you're a clever man. You'll know.
I don't know what the smallest thing in the world is. I can't do this on Mystery. People are going to ring me up and ask me what happened on EastEnders last night if we go down this road. Don't ring me up and ask me what happened on EastEnders
last night. I'm not asking what it was. I'm saying what was its texture. What's the texture?
What's the texture? You can't tell what the texture is without knowing what it was.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I didn't think of that.
So your question is actually, what is the texture of the smallest thing in the world, brackets, yes. I don't know what the smallest thing in the world is, close brackets.
Yes.
Right. I'll put it on the board.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, Des. Could you not have, checked the TV schedules or something?
It's a long time ago, James. It keeps bugging me, you know.
Yeah, but what channel was it on?
I can't remember. It was really a sports channel. But I woke up.
Why would it be on a sports channel?
What? It was after the football.
Oh, it was after the football. So what about plus one? How long were you asleep for?
But when I woke up, it was a shopping channel, which seems strange. So let's sort of change channels for ourselves.
You didn't imagine the whole thing, did you?
No.
What? A TV programme? I mean, it's going to be a pretty short TV programme. Hello, and welcome to What's the Smallest Thing in the World?
No, it was fascinating because it was working. And what was interesting was how, like, they got to, like, the really small things, how, like, they had shapes. And I think, what does it matter about the shape? You know, at that size, what does it matter? You know, different shapes, colours and sizes and textures was a fascinating thing. Because I thought, that's really interesting. And I fell asleep, unfortunately.
There it is. You're on the right, yeah. Well, what is the texture of the smallest thing in the world?
That bloke in Brighton, that smart bloke in
Roger.
Brighton. What's his name?
Well, he's buses, mate. He does buses. Oh, hey. Professor Howe.
Yeah,
we haven't heard from him
for
ages. Yeah, he might know. But I mean, what's the smallest thing in the world? Is it? Does it?
No. What's the texture?
I know, but you need to know what the smallest thing in the world is before you can ask someone what the texture is.
That's what I said, James. Yeah, correct.
13 is the time. How would it have a texture? Because you wouldn't be able to feel it. Well, anyway, Des, thanks. Chris is in Dartford. Chris, question or answer?
Good afternoon, James. Just a question, please.
Carry on.
When I was younger, and even slightly older than younger, I was told that...
I understand what you mean. Carry on.
Are you allowed to... You're not allowed to drink from the hot tap. You know, you've got cold and hot taps in your bathroom, kitchen, wherever, but you're not allowed to drink hot water from the hot tap.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to know why that was, because my granddad was a plumber when he was alive.
Yeah.
And he said there's no reason that you couldn't.
No, he was right now.
Yeah.
But back in the day, the hot water would come from the tank in the attic. Into the immersion and then into your bath.
Yeah.
And that meant that there could be something manky floating around in the tank in the attic, like a dead squirrel or something.
You know what? You just destroyed. I truly thought it was like going to be a. Yeah, that's great.
It's a good question. You've got a good answer. What are you moaning about?
That was a good answer. Look, I feel privileged and honoured. Thank you very much.
So you should ask me what my qualifications are.
Okay, what are your qualifications?
It's come up on Mystery Hour before. With unerring. To be fair to you, with unerring regularity.
Yeah,
or it might be because the water is not. No, that won't be it. That wouldn't be it.
No, I think you were right the first time. Don't overstretch yourself. Yeah.
No, thank you, Chris. That's what you need. You see, that's a little bit.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. A round of applause for me, please, Keith. Oh, now I've got the fear. Now I've got the fear that we've done this before. I've answered it before, and we've had a steward's inquiry before, and it turned out I was wrong before. Oh well, only one way to find out.
Shopify Point of Sale is retail made right, so you can give in-store customers what they really want.
Like click and collect?
Yep.
Can I display in-store stock online?
Definitely.
From every location?
From 1,000 locations.
Email capture? Easy returns?
Of course.
Can it make me right all the time?
No. Shopify Point of Sale. Retail made right. Visit shopify.co.uk/in-store to learn more.
Get up and at it, as my mother used to say. Get moving. Get your skates on. Get your hair done and the race run. Get behind the wheel. Get picking up and dropping off.
Bye.
Get busy.
Take the next left in 200 yards.
Get deliveries done and get home to see mom. Whatever the mission, Enterprise Rent-A-Car helps over 100,000 every day.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
It is 16 after 12. Apologies to Marchie. He says, finally a plumbing question and you already knew the answer. Well, I think I did. What's the texture of the small... Don't ask me, seriously. If you're just tuning in and you think this question sounds a little bit odd, then you don't know the half of it. What's the texture of the smallest thing in the world? And no, I don't know what the smallest thing in the world is. Why does Adil's daughter's Face ID let Adil's son open her phone? And why are pheasants so daft when it comes to, you know, self-preservation on our roads? David is in Edgware. David, question or answer?
Hi, James. I've got a very simple question for you.
Well, often the people who think their questions are very simple turn out to be asking questions that aren't very simple at all, David.
I thought you were going to say they turn out to be a bit simple.
No, that would be rude. That would be rude.
If you go to a supermarket, you can get tinned tuna in spring water, in brine, or in sunflower oil.
This is true.
They all cost the same.
They do.
How is that possible? Surely the oil is much more expensive.
No, there's not enough of it to make a difference. The cost is incurred in the canning process, really, rather than in the preservative.
Well, I thought the same per can, there's not that much in it. But yeah. When you're talking about the quantities that they're going to be making, you're going to have to bring in a hell of a lot of oil compared to a hell of a lot of water.
Yeah, but what they will do is absorb that across all three options, you see.
Right. So they're just making a little bit less on the one with the oil and a little bit more on the one with the water. Why not just even it out and people will pay, you know, 5p extra for a tin with the oil, which surely everyone thinks is much nicer anyway.
Well, it's less good for you though, isn't it?
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, you're only really allowed one question.
Yes,
I've just invented.
Why are they the same? Well,
I've just answered that. I've answered that question because the any disparity in cost is so negligible that they even it out across the varieties.
Right.
Why do you sound all sceptical like that?
Well, no.
So Tesco tuna steak in sunflower oil, £1.20. Tesco tuna steak in brine, £1.20. So if one of them costs more than the other. Say one cost 119.5 and one cost 120.5. It just makes life a lot easier to sell. Also, this goes back to the last hour, David. So it's a heck of a lot easier if all your unit costs are the same to process big shipments, isn't it? You'd need three different sets of paperwork you'd need three. I don't think I'm going to give them a round of applause on this one.
You're probably right. It's just something that just occurred to me.
I haven't proved it beyond reasonable doubt. I haven't proved it beyond reasonable doubt.
I was going to ask you what's the texture of the biggest thing in the world, but I didn't think I'd get through that.
The biggest thing in the world is, I don't know. David, you're okay. Why do different types of tuna cost the same? I just had another one of those moments where I imagine someone's radio coming on at just that moment and thinking, I think I might just see what's on Classic FM. Why do different types of tuna cost the same? Different types of preservative. 90 minutes after 12 is the time. Thank you, David. Simon's in Wimborne. Simon, question or answer?
Answer on the pheasants.
Oh, yes. Carry on.
I believe it's because they're bred in captivity, so they don't learn off their parents. Mm-hmm. They're taken away when they're little chicks, bred by dealers, and 40 million of them are released each year for the shooting industry.
So, I mean, they're literally unable to develop life skills, Simon.
Exactly, because if they actually,
and you wouldn't want them to, because if they did, the last thing they'd do is ever take off in the vicinity of a shoot.
No, but actually, they will only take off if they have to. They're predominantly lazy. They're fat.
They are.
Little brain.
Yes.
And
I just thought of Brexit again then, Simon, for some reason. I don't know why. That was very ungenerous of me.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm so predictable. It's pathetic, really.
And if they manage to live out that game season into the next season, they actually they learn to get more wily.
Oh. Of course they do.
Yeah.
It's because they've been around for long enough. Well, what a perfect answer. Qualifications?
I've been beating on shoots, I hate to say.
Why do you hate to say? Oh, because some people don't approve of blood sports and shooting and that kind of thing.
No, it's a good walk, and you make a stupid pheasant noise.
And you get a brace of birds, do you, as well, for your trouble, or do you get a cash bonus these days?
No, they used to give you £10 day out in the countryside and a brace.
£10 in your pocket and a brace of pheasants.
Which the wife's not happy about if you bring home. She'll look at it.
They pong the place up as well, don't they, if you look after them.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
They really can be. I like this. Talk me through the practice of beating. What do you do? Do you just march through the brush making noises?
So the guns will be lined up in front. And say you'll be in a wood, and you'll be in a line, and you'll walk through the wood, and you make a stupid pheasant noise. I'm not going to do it.
Why not?
And you,
I might insist. If you want a round of applause, you're going to have to make the noise.
Hang on.
Okay.
Hang
on. Hello.
So you make that stupid. Yeah, well, it's a bit like hello. So you make that stupid. You make that stupid noise, and you control. You obviously don't want to flush them all out at the same time.
No.
That's not what the guns are paid for. So you want to control how many birds are driven towards the guns. And you can literally walk past one of these pheasants and they will be cowering in the ground. You can walk past one.
Last thing they want to do is take off.
The last thing, because they are fat and lazy.
I like it. And a bit thick as well, but that's probably a little unfair because the ability to learn is something that you've witnessed. And the pheasant that has managed to evade your efforts in one season and lives to fight another day is less likely in the interim to get hit by a car on the road because they've managed to associate danger with cars. That's a beautiful answer. And you're out in the midst of the countryside now, I can tell by the background noise.
I am actually in beautiful Shaftesbury in North Dorset in a beautiful garden working.
That's delightful. Have a round of applause on me, Simon.
Thank you.
Hang on, just give me marks out of 10, as if this were the generation game for my pheasant impression. Ready?
Go on. 10.
23 after 12. I knew it was going to be a good week. James is in Scarborough. James, question or answer?
Good afternoon. It's a question, James.
Carry on, James.
So I've got a cat and a dog.
Yep.
And my relationship with my dog, she's quite obedient. She seems quite loving and caring, and she follows me around. Whereas my cat does what she wants. She likes attention. She likes to be with me. But when she doesn't, she lets me know. She attacks me. And what I want to know is, if my cat grew bigger than me, would she see me as prey, or does she actually love me?
If you died, or just generally?
No, just if she,
so you
if
just,
she just
feed
became
her.
Bigger than me, yeah, would she
if
be she, like, I've
if
had
she
enough,
became
I'm
bigger
eat
than
you.
You?
Yeah, if
oh,
she suddenly
I see.
Grew bigger than me.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh, I'd never thought of that. Oh, good Lord. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know how anyone's going to answer that bit of the question, really. It's a domesticated cat. It would depend how hungry it was.
Yeah. But would she?
Would the
you
cat
know, I don't
the,
think my dog would.
Would the cat turn on you if it was physically cat? Well, I mean, why would it have to wait until it was big? It could wait till you were asleep.
But would she see me as prey rather than just a fit of anger?
Prey or provider?
Yeah.
Prey or provider. So we'll leave the dog out of it, all right?
Yeah.
Focusing on the cat. Quite cat-like. Cats are selfish creatures, as we know, although they can be very, very affectionate.
And yeah, she's both.
So if your cat was enormous, would it just eat you for fun?
Yeah.
Chris has been in touch. I don't know how helpful this is, Chris. She says, imagine a lion, James. But a lion's not domesticated, is it? So would a domesticated cat... How the hell is anyone ever going to answer this question?
I don't know.
Nor do I.
It's just something I thought about walking along. So.
Well, you would. I mean, that's the problem with thinking, isn't it? You never know where it's going to take you next.
Yeah.
So if James's cat grew to leonine, there's a nice word for you. If James's cat grew to leonine proportions, would it kill him for fun and or food?
Yeah.
0345 6060 973. And I don't want to go down the road of what would happen if he passed away, Evie, please. So please withdraw that text. Martin's in Knaresborough in North Yorkshire. Martin, question or answer?
It's a question, please, James.
Carry on.
Quiz shows.
Yes.
Now, let's use the hardest one ever, Mastermind. Only the best people win it.
Thank you, Martin.
How do they ensure...
How kind of you to bring that up, cheers. Right, to be fair.
How do they have...
Go on, carry on.
I was going to say, how do they ensure on the specialist rounds that each question, each person has questions which are equally hard? I.e., if one person has a specialist round on the Spice Girls, and if the next person has a question on Roman Gods, how do they know that the questions they're going to ask are as hard?
That's a really good question. I thought you were going to ask a different question, which I wouldn't have been able to have a crack at. But I think I know. Can you give me like 10 seconds just to have a think about whether or not I'm going to be betraying any confidences by trying to answer it from my own personal experience as a winner by some distance of Celebrity Mastermind?
Obviously, yes. You should have mentioned that.
Yeah. I don't like to boast. So I think it's part of the production process. So there will be a specific producer assigned to each specialist subject.
Yeah.
And they will consult a variety of reference. Everyone's listening in the garden today, aren't they? You're in the garden as well, I think.
I'm indeed, yes. Yeah, grass cutting.
Quite jealous. And they will be assigned a specialist subject and have research. And then I think it's just, I'm not going to take a round of applause for this. I think it's just a combination of experience and collegiality. You know, they will then gather and try and ensure that the questions are of comparable difficulty. But that's not going to work, is it? We need to hear from someone who's done it. And I've got at least four in my inbox, but that's not how Mystery Hour works.
No.
Okay. Yeah, you're on. It's a great question. But it does work, doesn't it? You very, very rarely watch it, even when someone has chosen a pop culture subject or a subject that you're not going to be able to study a degree in. They do often get questions that you think are really hard.
For me, they're all hard, James.
Well, you're on the list. Quizzes. How do they make sure that the questions on Mastermind are of equal difficulty when the... I mean, actually, thinking about it, do you know Chaperat Corsandi? Do you know Chappie Corsandi, the comedian and author? She's a really lovely woman.
Yes, I think
her questions were harder than mine when we did Mastermind together.
Of course,
She chose Asterix, and that's just full of made-up words.
I thought you meant the little signs when you do writing, not those, No,
that would be a really difficult... I mean, goodness knows how you'd get 10 questions on asterisks. So she chose Asterix, the Gaul, as in Obelix and Getafix. But so many of the questions that Clive Murray asked her were questions about what a character in one of the Uderzo books was called Who Did a Thing. And how you remember that is very different from how you remember a word that is in common parlance. Well, my specialist subject was the books of... J.D. Salinger, and so there's character names in that, but they've got real names. They haven't got made-up names. Yeah, they're called things like, you know, Buddy or Holden. Actually, they're quite made-up names. But you see my point. I thought that Chappie ended up with by far the hardest bunch of questions, but there was nothing that the questioners could have done about that. Thank you, Martin. It's coming up to 12:30. Questions that still need answers. How do the Mastermind quiz question setters ensure that the questions are of equal difficulty across such an amazing range and diversity of specialist subjects? If James's cat grew to leonine proportions, would it kill him for fun and or food? Why are tins of tuna, why do they all cost the same, despite the obvious difference in production cost, depending on whether the tuna is preserved in spring water, brine or sunflower oil? What is the texture of the smallest thing in the world? Brackets, we don't know what the smallest thing in the world is, close brackets. How is Adil's son managing to open Adil's daughter's phone using Face ID? And we've done the pheasants question. Is that the lot? I think it is. It's 12:30. Amelia Cox has your headlines.
Video analysis was so key, you know. One game, I actually managed to find out that my opposition winger was a little slower to turn, so that when the kick went in behind him, that gave me such a competitive advantage. In business, you're always trying to look for that little bit of knowledge, that little bit of analytical insight. The better you do that, the more you're able to succeed.
Sage gives business owners like rugby legend Brian Habana the insights to make better decisions. Sage, official insights partner of the Guinness Six Nations.
Ever wanted a vacuum that can just do it all? Muddy car boot, a garden spruce up, even a washing machine leak. A Kärcher Wet & Dry vacuum is ideal for all those tough jobs your indoor vacuum can't handle. From sawdust to heavy rubble and liquid, save time and effort tackling all those messy jobs. Bring back the wow to your garden, home or car with a Kärcher Wet & Dry vacuum.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
12:33 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. We'll just crack straight on, shall we? Paul is in Leeds. Question or answer, Paul?
Answer, please, James.
Carry on, Paul.
So the iPhone face match question.
Yeah.
So when these kinds of pieces of software work, they're often calibrated to a certain level of kind of assurance that it needs to have of the person's face. And... but effectively, for iPhone or Apple to give users a positive experience, they need to keep what's called the false match rate to an acceptable level. Because if they set it too exact and it absolutely needs to be a 100% match for the person, then when they do their hair differently, they wear makeup, they wear glasses, they potentially have plastic surgery or some disfigurement.
Crikey.
they wouldn't be able to unlock the phone, and that would create, obviously, a horrible user experience. No one would actually make use of the Face ID function. So they have to build in a certain level of tolerance that it will accept.
Yes.
And so someone who is sufficiently similar looking...
Obviously, when I'm wearing glasses, it still opens, or if I've got a hat on. I mean, and silly things like that are part of what you're describing.
Exactly, yes. And so if someone looks sufficiently similar to another person, in this case, siblings, their facial and kind of skeletal structure is probably roughly similar enough that they're edging in under that line of what they will or won't.
And it wouldn't necessarily work the other way?
Not necessarily, no.
So it wouldn't necessarily mean that she can open his phone. And it wouldn't necessarily mean that he's always going to be able to open her phone as their physiognomies diverge a bit?
Exactly, yeah.
I like that. And is it possible that he has just got hold of her phone and programmed it to recognise his face as well? Can you do that to a phone to recognise more?
I mean, when it comes to...
You know
to
what Big Brothers are like.
And when it comes to cybersecurity and things of that nature, it's often the kind of unexpected angle that people would go down. So, yeah, I wouldn't rule it out.
You're on. Okay, so I'll give you your qualifications.
I work for a background company that uses software like this.
So there it is. So my father and son story is definitely true, because neither of them would have bothered to borrow the other person's phone, and that would make sense as well under your answer.
Yes.
Cool. Round of applause for Paul in Leeds. So we don't know for sure Adil and Adil's daughter, but it would be quite easy to check, wouldn't it, on the settings, whether or not the phone had been tampered with to allow two people's faces to be recognised as opposed to just one's. And if it's definitely just one's, then it's happening exactly as Paul described. What a satisfying answer that is. 12:35 is the time. Mulid is in Southwark. Mulid, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. Is a question, please?
Carry on.
Yeah, when you're in the lift going to the 10th floor and your child presses other numbers like 5, 6, 7, or you accidentally press 1 or 2.
Yes.
You cannot cancel it. I don't know why. With all this technology and AI, there's no way. You have to stop at every floor until you get to the 10th floor. It's been bugging me for many years. And every time I go to my house, I'm going to the 6th floor, I'm in a rush. It happens to me. And when my child is there or anyone, children always in the lift, busy, they press and there's nothing you can do. So why didn't they have a cancel button where you can just press and then it cancels the one that you are not going on? You can just press back.
I mean, it'd be a lift engineer would be able to tell us, but I think it would cause more problems than it would solve.
Like what?
Well, you'd accidentally cancel it sometimes when you pressed it, wouldn't you? Or you'd sort of... It would cost to. It doesn't happen often enough to justify the added cost of introducing some sort of cancel function on the.
It happens a lot, James. I can guarantee you that, because there's, especially children, when they're in the lift, they always love to play with it and press it. And you, even if you rush into the toilet, you have to wait. It's so painful.
Well, I know, but you've got to have a word with your child.
It's hard to tell.
I know it is, but I mean, that is the main problem. The main reason is that it doesn't exist as a technological option is because it's not that widely needed, Molid.
Anyone who has a child, I'm sure, will testify to this.
Well, I've got children. It might have happened once or twice, but you just say, please don't do that, darling. Otherwise, you know, you'll be sleeping
done
in the cellar
again.
You're
going
tonight
to the 10th floor.
Yeah.
And you have to wait every stop along the way.
You can do it in Japan. So then the question becomes, well, I imagine it's cost, but I'll find out. A lift engineer will know. Why can't you cancel the button you've pressed on a lift? Yeah?
Yeah. Can I say that?
What?
Something that everyone says, long-time listener, first-time caller, and I work in Kenya, in Nairobi. The traffic is bad, and I listen, Mr. Owl, all the time. I look forward to the traffic jam.
Oh, wow. Wow, that should put that on an advertising slogan. Radio so good, you look forward to traffic jams. Thank you, Molid. Wow. Gosh, but, yeah, I'll take that.
And if this is your best question or whatever I said, if I'm in the lead for the winner, know that it's Eid. I'm celebrating, so it's going to be my Eid gift.
Well, that's not a bad guy. You've really pulled on the heartstrings. You've buttered me up, and then you've pulled on the heartstrings, and you are definitely calling from Southwark, not from Kenya.
No, from Southwark, London.
Okay, well, there you go. There's a strong contender. Eid Mubarak, Molid. It is 12:38, and Wayne is in Basildon. Wayne, question or answer?
Hello, mate. Don't be nervous. It's just me.
Carry on.
I've got a question and yes. also a correction.
No, you can't do that. You can only do the question.
Okay, well, my question is, it's very topical because the Grand National is this weekend. And I was wondering, why is it that horse racing is the only sport that's measured in furlongs? Every other sport is yards, metres and every other derivative, but never furlongs. Like, you never hear, like, oh, Saka scored a screamer from
four half furlongs, a furlong half out. Half a furlong out. How long is a furlong?
Exactly.
Do you know?
I don't know. No. I have no idea. I'm guessing it's a derivative of a mile, but...
Not necessarily, but probably. So, yeah, that's a, yeah, I like that. Why would you do it? The furlong, or at least it wouldn't have got moved along by now.
Yeah, exactly.
Been replaced. Been, yeah, why like, do we use like, furlongs? Why do we use furlongs in horse race in horse racing?
Yeah, other than any other sport, which is meters, yards, everything like that. But yeah, furlongs only seems to be specific to horse racing.
I like it. 12:40 is the time. Why furlongs in horse racing? Why? No cancel option in a lift. How do the quizmasters on Mastermind ensure that every specialist subject has a set of equally difficult questions? Would James's cat eat him if it grew to the size of a lion? David's question about tuna. Des's question about the smallest thing in the world. And I think we've satisfied Adil and his daughter with their question about Face ID. Glenn's in Penge. Glenn, question or answer?
It's a question.
Carry on, Glenn.
I was just wondering if total eclipses happen on other planets in our solar system. Obviously, we had one recently. And it's a bit of a coincidence with the moon being 400 times smaller than the sun, and the sun is 400 times further away than the moon that we get total eclipse. And I was just wondering if that happens elsewhere in the solar system.
Well, wouldn't it happen to everything that is orbiting the sun? It would happen to everything that's orbiting the sun.
But if for a total eclipse, it would need to be...
The sizes would have to work, but the sun's not very big. So do other planets have a total solar eclipse?
Yeah.
I mean, they must be able to do that with maths. You wouldn't actually have to visit Pluto, would you?
I definitely don't think anyone's visiting Pluto. No, but yeah, I'm sure someone with maths...
You wouldn't need a camera on. You could do it with maths. It's the sort of thing that Galileo and Copernicus would probably have calculated back in the day. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's how it works. You're on. I like that question. It's, you know what? Do you know, Glenn, why? Here's a mystery for you that you weren't expecting. Why is this episode of Mystery Hour going to be a little bit special? A little bit special. Maybe not unique.
Is it because a caller from Penge?
No. Fond though I am of Penge, and Penge is one of those places that is both a place and a figure of speech, isn't it? But no, it's not that. It's not that. I haven't checked this with Keith for sure, but I think the advertising break, some of the commercial breaks in the last hour were about 3.5 minutes long, which is great news if I need the loo. But some of them in this hour have been, you blink and you miss it. They've been tiny, which means that if you're listening to this on podcast, and don't forget that Mystery Hour is available as both a self-contained podcast and part of the Whole Show podcast, which are both available every Thursday. The Whole Show is available every day. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you're probably getting the longest Mystery Hour ever today. It won't be an hour, despite the title.
Exciting.
It is exciting, isn't it? That's exactly the word I was hoping that you'd use.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much
for all you do for everyone.
That's very kind. What a lovely thing to say. It's coming out to 12:43. Daniel is in Sidcup. Daniel, question or answer?
Hi, James. I've got a question.
Yes.
So the other day I was working outside, walking along, minding my own business.
Right.
And without seeing it, I walked into a swarm of mini flies. I guess you might call them gnats.
Yeah.
And as a result, one ended up in my eye. I was fortunate enough to be near a bottle of eyewash, you know, the type with the lid on that you tip the solution into. You put the cap over your eye and wash it.
Yeah.
And then you can see the receptacle in the eye bath,
hopefully.
Which I obviously did profusely, but there was no fly to be seen. So I did that several times and obviously tried pulling my eye apart and looking for this fly, but I couldn't find it. And so I wondered, where would it have gone? Does it sort of enter your body as such, or is it sort of pushed out naturally in some way? Does it enter your like nose system and come out as a sneeze, or does it just decompose within? I don't really know. So that was.
So you lost the fly. You lost the fly.
Yeah, it never reappeared. It certainly went into my eye because I could sort of see it as I was looking, and it never came out.
So what are your theories? What are your theories at the moment?
Well, I don't really know where it is. I don't even know. It could still be in there.
But it's not causing you any irritation. It could have gone down the back or something.
No, nothing like that. No, but obviously this has happened before, and I guess it happens for people in general.
If it was tiny, it could have moved to the side of your eye, and then a little bit later you've wiped your eye and you've got rid of it without knowing. That's what's happened. You've swilled it around. So think if it was in the bath, right? Now imagine it was a bit bigger and it was in the bath, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now give the bath a bit of a shuz. Give it a bit of a wiggle, yeah? Wiggle around. Pretend you're in the bath. Actually, get in the bath now, please, Daniel. Are you in the bath now?
I'm in.
Right?
I'm in it.
And now you you sort of wash around a bit, and the thing that was floating has now stuck to the side of the bath, right?
It's quite a common occurrence to me.
That's your eye. Your eye is the bath. And the water is the eye wash. You've washed around the eye wash, and it's moved the fly to the side of your eye, which means it no longer irritates you anymore. And the next time you wiped your eye, you got rid of the thing.
I'm not sure, because I was quite profuse in my washing of the eye, and I even tipped it into a white container.
Yeah, but the thing's still in your eye. It's in the side of your eye. It's just not irritating you anymore because it's not on your eyeball.
What if it was to go further into the eye?
That's a possibility. That is a possibility, but that opens up the option of you having loads and loads of flies nestling somewhere in the back of your eye.
They must be sort of pushed out at some stage.
And then you would wipe your eye. So the question is, where does the fly go? I think I've answered you that question. I think it goes, it's been wiped off on your finger and disappeared without you noticing.
And what's your qualifications, please?
I was asked in quite an aggressive fashion, that, actually. I was just thinking, really, Daniel, to be honest. So that doesn't
I don't know. I was pretty sure it didn't come out of my eye again as it entered throughout that afternoon.
No, it did. It probably did. What are the odds that you didn't rub your eye throughout that afternoon after you'd washed your eye?
Well, I had gloves on, so I was outside.
Yeah, so you would have wiped your eye. You would have wiped your eye. Of course you would, especially if you were outside, because you might have teared up a bit, might have been a bit cold, might have all that sort of thing.
Possibly.
All right, I'll put it on the list. 03456060973 is the answer to Adam's question. He says, who on earth is going to answer this? Jeff Goldblum. It's 12:46.
Get 3 pieces of original recipe chicken, fries and your choice of side for just $4.49 at KFC. That's a serious size meal for a seriously small price. The original recipe deal for just $4.49. Do the deal until the 28th of April only at KFC.
Participating in restaurants only. T's and C's apply.
Health isn't someday in the future, it's now. It's same-day GP appointments when you need that niggle seen to. And getting the results for your cancer test fast. Health is a direct line to experts, whatever time of day you need it. And mental health support that doesn't have an expiry date. Feeling your best every day starts today. Search Bupa Health Insurance to get your quote now. Bupa, this is health.
Pre-existing conditions not covered. Terms and conditions apply.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
Tell Adam he's got a Venus eye trap. It doesn't quite work, but it's good. I like it. Back to Mystery Hour. Lucy's in Etchingham. We've got to crack on, actually. Question or answer, Lucy?
It's an answer, James.
Splendid. Carry on.
Furlong. So it comes from medieval times when you used to plough a field, and it was one furrow long. So agricultural times, they had their fields in strips. And obviously, you'd pull your plough with your horse. So that was a furlong. And that's why it's only used in horse racing.
And the question of why is it still used in horse racing is, immaterial, really, because it just is. Everyone's happy with the system as it is, so there's really no need to change it. So it goes back to ploughing.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. So, comes from...
Furrow long, yeah. So it wouldn't have had a specific distance attached to it originally. Because it would have depended on the size of the field, wouldn't it, or not?
Yeah, well, yeah, essentially. Normally it was to do with if you had around about an acre of land, and because it would be split into strips. So it would be the furrow length of up to, you know, however long it would take to do your strip of an acre.
Qualifications?
I'm an equine and military historian.
That'll do nicely. Round of applause for Lucy, please. I saw, bizarrely, having an equine and military historian on the show today, I saw the, who are the ones in the metal hats, the metal helmets, the horse soldiers in the metal helmets that I would have seen coming up the mail today?
It could have been any of the kind of household regiments. I'm not sure who's out today.
Yeah, it's incredible when you see it. Why do some of them wear the full regalia hat and some of them just have what looks like a normal riding hat on? Do you know?
Yeah, it just goes back to obviously what their previous roles were in their sort of history, and a lot of it's obviously just ceremonial gear that they wear now, obviously.
And final question. There was a fella in the carriage who looked just like a normal squaddie. He wasn't in fancy clothes at all. Is that just like he's just done something good? It's a little prize he's won, or it was all on his own in the carriage that would ordinarily contain a member of the royal family, and he was just chilling.
I don't know, just having a nice ride.
Yeah, he was seriously, he's like, you know, just sitting back. He might as well have had a sort of Starbucks with him for all the casualness he was displaying as he lay back in the carriage. That's just because they want someone in it, because otherwise the horses aren't doing a proper job. I don't know.
Well, I guess they're just doing some drill and practicing for something.
That's a lovely insight, thank you. And it's a very special thing. I saw two things this morning. I saw that, and I don't know which. What the lifeguards wear? Busbies, don't they, Lucy?
Yes.
So
yeah,
blues and royals, would it be? I don't know. What was James Blunt in? Can you remember what James Blunt was in?
I'm not a James Blunt historian, so I'm not entirely sure.
Well, you say that, but he is, obviously he's not a horse, but he's a former soldier, so, you know, it cuts across slightly.
My research is more involved in sort of like how the horses responded to warfare and things like that.
Fair
rather
enough.
Than
Fair
the
enough.
Regiment.
No, he was in tanks, anyway. He was in tanks anyway, wasn't he? He wasn't on horses. I'm being a bit silly. Not a James Blunt historian. I wonder if we could find a James Blunt historian. There's a full disclosure episode of featuring James Blunt, which was particularly enjoyable. Did we give Lucy a round of applause? We did. And then, just as I'd finished seeing all the soldiers, like old school, old fashioned soldiers in the big metal helmets, I came onto the Mall. So where would that have been? The one going Piccadilly? Not Piccadilly, anyway. And then, no, it wasn't Horse Guards Parade. But then near Knightsbridge, in the Hyde Park on that road near the barracks, going from Knightsbridge down to Cage down there. And then I turned onto the Mall, and there was obviously a very senior member of the royal family, because the police escort was going by with its blues and twos flashing. And I don't know why the two things worked in juxtaposition of just an very peculiarly English or British, if you prefer, little experience that morning. 12:54 is the time. Lawrence is in Nottingham. Lawrence, question or answer?
It's an answer for you, James.
Carry on.
I've been waiting for this moment all my life.
Go on, then.
So, it's to the list question. You can come at this from multiple ways, really, but it would either be settings related or age related.
Yes.
So a modern lift would probably have that facility in it.
Oh, really? I've never come across one in this country.
So it wouldn't be unusual if you're in a new lift and if you press the button you've already pressed, it goes off.
Yes.
That can exist. And the questioner was coming at it from his child pressing all of the buttons.
That is correct.
There's a setting called anti-nuisance, which for some reason a lot of the time isn't turned on. But what that does is if 50% of the calls have been pressed, the system will go, obviously there isn't 15 people in the lift, and it just cancels all of them.
Oh, really?
So if that would be turned on and your child pressed, I don't know, 6 out of 10 calls, all the calls would be cancelled and that would be it. And for some reason, a lot of the time, people don't turn it on. Which, there you go, adds to the annoyance.
It does, and it would be the cost.
Yeah, well, so in a new lift, someone's just got to spend the time writing the software to get it to do it. And it's not a priority, really. But most modern lifts, I would think, probably have it on.
Well, you're on. Round of qualifications?
I am a lift engineer, and I actually design lift control systems as well.
Round of applause for Lawrence, please. So, and they have it in
Thank
Japan.
You very much.
They have it in Japan, and you think in some modern lift systems here.
Most of the high quality lifts are made by Mitsubishi these days. So there you go.
Is that right? Well, you live and learn. Well played, Lawrence. Marcus is in Westminster. Marcus, question or answer?
Answer, James. Total eclipses. Yeah, I mean, as the questioner says, it is a pretty weird coincidence that the sun is 400 times bigger than the moon, but it's 400 times further away, so it appears to be the same size. And that has not been the case for most of the history of the Earth, because the moon is moving away from the Earth for about 4 centimetres a year. So in the past, it was nearer the Earth, and in the future, it will be further away. So we can only see total eclipses for about 5% of the history of the Earth, so we're quite lucky to be around. As for the rest of the solar system, probably you could see a total eclipse because there are hundreds of other moons, but they tend to be around the gas giant planets like Saturn and Jupiter and Neptune and Uranus. They don't actually have surfaces. So I don't know, you know, their moons could blot out the sun, but they don't have proper solid surfaces. But they might, you know, they've got so many moons, you could probably see a total eclipse from the surface of one of their moons, seeing another moon in front of the
So
the
it's
sun.
Definitely not unique. It's definitely not unique to Earth, then.
Not unique, but it's quite rare. I mean, the really rare thing is that the moon is so big, because all the other moons in the solar system are tiny compared to their planet. But our moon is a quarter the size of the Earth. I mean, we're effectively a double planet. And having that big moon has been really crucial for us being here, because it stabilised the Earth's spin. So, you know, the Earth spins like a top. If it ever tips over, the moon's gravity pulls it back. So it's stabilised the spin, kept the climate pretty stable for life over billions of years. Of course, it creates the tides. So, you know, the margins of the continents become dry twice a day, and that causes stranded sea creatures that then move onto the land. So really, we've got this incredibly unusual moon that is really large compared to its planet, and it's crucial to life on Earth to have this large moon. But it seems to be quite rare, because there's nothing like it elsewhere in the solar system, which means it could have implications for how common life is in the universe, because if you need a big moon like ours, and they are quite rare, it could mean that other life is rare.
Well, flipping out, you covered a lot of ground there. What are your qualifications?
Pardon?
What are your qualifications?
I used to be a radio astronomer at California Institute of Technology in Pasadena.
Blimey. How many of those are there?
What? Radio astronomers? In the world? I don't know. Maybe a few hundred, something like that. But that was a long time ago. I now write popular science books. And if I could, James, I'm going to be giving a talk at the Edinburgh Science Festival tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the evening at the National Museum of Science.
Where is it again, Marcus?
Scotland.
National Museum of Scotland in Edinburgh.
In Edinburgh, 8 o'clock tomorrow.
What's it called? What's it about?
I wrote a book called The One Thing You Need to Know. So it's basically the one thing you need to know to understand relativity, evolution.
No, that'll do. I mean, you've taken quite rightly helped yourself to a free advert. So it's crossed you off the Ray Liotta consider. Marcus Chown, of course, whose books include not just The One Thing You Need to Know, but also The Ascent of Gravity, Infinity in the Palm of Your Hand, and How I Garnered Several Rounds of Applause on James O'Brien's Mystery Hour. That's my favourite of his books. I'm going to give it to Imoudi, aren't I? Imoudi, the guy that asked the lift question, because I liked his shamelessness. I thought he managed to combine charm with shamelessness in a very winning fashion, which in many ways makes him a man after my own heart. That's it from me for today. If you missed any of today's show, then you can catch up on Global Player, where you can also, of course, rewind and pause live radio. Download it now for free from your app store, or head to globalplayer.com. Coming up at 4, it's Tom Swarbrick, but now it's time for Sheila Fogarty.
Video analysis was so key, you know. One game, I actually managed to find out that my opposition winger was a little slower to turn, so that when the kick went in behind him, that gave me such a competitive advantage. In business, you're always trying to look for that little bit of knowledge, that little bit of analytical insight. The better you do that, the more you're able to succeed.
Sage gives business owners like rugby legend Brian Habana the insights to make better decisions. Sage, official insights partner of the Guinness Six Nations.
If self-expression and innovation excite in equal measure, let's make it real. Introducing the new all-electric BMW iX2 with striking design inside and out, and a BMW curved display that lets you stream movies and play video games whilst parked up. Search BMW iX2 to book a test drive. Nonconformists, please form a disorderly queue. Features require a BMW digital premium subscription. App costs may apply. Details on our website. Test drive subject to status and availability.